Amen. Lord, it's so true. And we just thank you and praise you that you loved us so much that you sent your Son to die that we might have eternal life. And Father, may we never take for granted the cross of Calvary, the blood that was spilled on our behalf. Lord, I just pray as we go to your word right now, Lord, that you would be our teacher. Minister to every heart that is here. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Go ahead and grab a seat. Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Continue our verse-by-verse study through the New Testament. I do want to encourage you, ladies, they're going to be going through 1 Peter. Guys, bless your wives and volunteer to take care of the kids and let them go down and be ministered to and be refreshed. The same way that the guys are up at the retreat this weekend. I know we had just an incredible time this weekend. Guys are still up there and just a sweet time of worship and fellowship and getting together with other people in the body. Great time. So especially if you're new, let me encourage you to go. Good way to get to know some people. Come on Wednesday night, we'll be in 1 Samuel chapter 10. We just go verse by verse through the Old Testament on Wednesday nights. So let me encourage you to come for that. And then tonight, Ross Rhodes, you know, I'm just going to be open. There were not a whole lot of folks here last Sunday night, and I want to tell you something. I have rarely heard anybody as gifted to teach the Bible as this guy. Absolutely. I've listened to every one of the messages from the conference numerous times, and man, God's got his hand on this guy. And you know, he's just a man. He's just a tool in the hands of his master, but I'll tell you, what a blessing. And the good news is he's going to be coming next year to do our men's retreat. So I would encourage you to come tonight if you don't have other plans. And like I said last week, if you have other plans, change them. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to continue to move at a lightning speed here through this chapter. Anybody who goes to our church knows what I'm talking about. But here's the thing. You know what? When you get to the pastoral epistles and you see what's happening, again, the title of the message is Perilous Times and Precious Truth. And we're not going to finish it this week either. So just don't even get your hopes up. Just forget it. It's not going to happen, all right? But here's the thing. As we get to this point in the text, this is a time, again, where there is persecution upon the Christian church like no time before. Time of Caesar Nero when he's, you know, setting Christians on, covering them in pitch and setting them on fire. They're being fed to wild animals. Christians are falling away from God with great persecution. You find out who's lukewarm and you find out who's serious about their faith. And you see people falling away. And in the midst of that, you have young pastor Timothy, who's the pastor in Ephesus. And as he's pastoring, again, imagine your people are falling away. Some of the people in your church are being put to death, being fed to wild animals. Imagine the potential discouragement. And the one writing it is the Apostle Paul, sitting in a jail cell, about to be put to death. This is his last will and testament. And as he writes it with a great sense of urgency. And as I said last several weeks, that each of these chapters, as we go through them, not only apply to the people in Timothy's day, but they are some of the most practical instructions for us living in the world today. Because last week, as we saw, he began to talk about the last days. Now, the last days, you know, from a theological perspective, we know that they began with the time of Jesus. From the time of Jesus until his return, that entire time can be referred to as the last days. But know this, we're in the laster days, right? We're a lot farther along in the last days because it's been 2,000 years of last days. So these are the last of the last days. And the way we can recognize it is what we saw in last week's text. Now, I want to go over that because, and I want to say this, again, just being transparent with you. I'm always blown away by the way people respond to certain messages. So half of you, after the message, were really excited and praising God, and the other half wanted me strung up by a pole outside. And I just want to encourage you. The Word of God is the Word of God. It's not your pastor's opinion. Amen? And if I got up here and just told you all the wonderful things about you, I could do that, right? But it would not transform your lives. Amen? It's the Word of God that will transform your lives. And I'm going to stand before Almighty God one day, and I'll be accountable for every word I've taught you. And the Bible tells me, Paul instructed the Ephesian elders to teach the whole counsel of God. So that means we don't skip over the tough stuff. Amen? And we look at stuff in the Bible and go, oh man, that's rough. Well, guess what? It's in there for a reason. Amen? And we want to look at it because, you know what? You know, half a word will not make a whole Christian. We need to study all of it. And we need to know all the whole counsel of God. Amen? And you know what? The people that were mad at me about last week's message are going to be really mad at me again because I'm going to take some time and go over all 18 of those things again. How about that? Because they're in there for a reason. Amen? They're in there for a reason. So the perilous times have come, as we saw at the beginning of the chapter. In these perilous times, men were driven not by love for God, but love of self, money, and pleasure. And we saw this last week, and this should not surprise us because we're living in it, aren't we? We're living in the times. So the overview, the outline is that perilous times and precious truths, signs of the last days, and how we are to respond. Last week we saw in verses 1 through 5, flawed character of those who would call themselves Christians. And then, so the first half is the sign of perilous times, and we saw last week the flawed character of those who would call themselves Christians. This morning, we're going to see the false teachers and imitators leading people away from truth. And then next week, after looking at the signs of perilous times, we're going to see the precious truth. How are we to respond? In light of the fact that we live in these types of days, how do we then respond based on the Word of God? How are we to respond when people are lovers of themselves? When people are lovers of money, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, denying the very power of God. And in the midst of all that, false teachers rising up left and right, imitators of being Christians all around us. How do you and I properly respond? You got to come next week for that. All right? We'll look at that in the second half of the chapter. You know, I promise you, I say every week I'm going to teach more verses, but here's what happens. When I get to about 40 pages of notes, I stop. Because I figure you probably won't sit here for 3 hours. You just won't. Okay, so let's review. I want us to look at the perilous times and precious truth, signs of the last days, and how we are to respond. And understand, as we talked about last week, these last days, beginning with the time of Jesus, there would be these perilous times. The word perilous there means difficult, dangerous, harsh, fierce, troublesome, savage. And so you hear those words and you think, man, I don't want to hear about this, but guys, we're living in it. We need to hear about it and know how to live in it. These fierce times, times of godlessness, spiritual dryness, false teachers, and persecution, like the time of Judges, everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes, and we live in a time today when everyone is doing what is right in their own eyes. The Bible says in 2 Peter, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? The perilous times he's talking about here, it's not necessarily the famines and the wars and the earthquakes, though we will certainly see that, the Bible tells us. Much of that will take place, of course, during the tribulation itself. But where we really understand the perilous times is in when we look at the hearts of man. Even more than the natural disasters is the spiritual disaster in the heart of men. Men walking away from God. Men mocking God. No fear of God anymore. The wickedness and depravity of men should be a sign to us that we're coming to the end. You know, in the days of Noah, there was a time where because men were so wicked, God brought judgment. And you know what? We're not far from the days of Noah. You know what? In a lot of ways, I think we've surpassed them. And so Paul begins to describe the moral and social characteristics of the world in the last days from our text last week. And let me just go over those 18 characteristics again. So the people that are really mad at me will never come back. That'll be what happens. You know that's not my heart at all. Amen? I love you guys. And just think, when you get to sit here for an hour, I study it for 30. So there you go, all right? So if it beats you up, I'm done by the time I get here. Don't worry about it, all right? So the list began with men will be, look at verse 1, lovers of themselves. In the last days, men will be lovers of themselves. And as we said last week, the love of self is the basic sin from which all others flow. The moment a man or a woman makes their own will the center of life, divine and human relationships are destroyed. Obedience to God and charity to men become impossible. Do people love themselves today? What's the answer? It's unbelievable how in love with ourselves we are. Isn't it incredible? Even, you know, advertisers today know that we love ourselves, so all the themes for all the stuff to buy tells you, you deserve it, right? Yes, I do. You know, I mean, they just play right into it. It's all about you. But here's the sad part. What Paul is saying here is not only will men be lovers of themselves, but the love of self will be in the church. And as we talked about last week, we see that today in the self-esteem doctrine, the self-esteem theology. You know what? You need to be at church, just tell people how wonderful they are. And I told you, you'll never hear that here. Wrong church if you want that. Because here's the point. Only one is wonderful. And his name is Jesus. Amen? And you know what? He came and suffered and died because we're not wonderful. Because we're wicked and perverse above all things. Oh, I'm not that wicked. Yes, you are. Amen? We are. Now, I don't want to, that doesn't mean, oh, I'm going to go outside and eat some worms and hate myself. Because no, understand, he came that we might have life and life more abundant. Amen? But we have abundant life not because we're good, but because he's good. And because he transforms us and makes us new creations in him. But it's not because we should not be in love with ourselves. We should be in love with him. And be pointing people to him. And we don't esteem self. We deny self. Less of us and more of him. Amen? You've heard me say it many times. Jesus said, of men born among women, none greater than John the Baptist. But then John the Baptist said, I must decrease that he might increase. So the greatest man who ever lived said, less of me and more of him. Then all of us need to say, less of me and more of him. Amen? So not only will they be lovers of themselves, and not only will that come into the church, but it says they will be lovers of money. No, nobody in this country loves money. But the truth is that we see that not only in the world, but in the church. The prosperity doctrine. If you don't know what that is, it's where God becomes the holy Santa Claus in the sky, and the reason you come to church and the reason you give is so you can get. Turning God into an ATM or a lottery ticket. And you know what? This, you know, here's what I'm going to get. What God wants to give us is eternal. Why would I want what's temporal? Amen? And he wants to give us life and life more abundant, but we're not to have our possessions possess us. We're to possess them. And we need to realize that all we have belongs to the Lord. And God, we're not to be manipulating God so he'll do what we want. We need to be surrendered to God so we can do what he wants. Amen? But in the end times, we'll be lovers of themselves. Self-esteem doctrine. Men will be lovers of money. And we see that in the world today. It also says they will be boasters and proud. The natural outpouring of self-love is promotion of self. And seeing yourself above others. And we see that. He says, in the last days, that's what you're going to see. And we see it in the world today. Blasphemers. These are evil speakers, profane, abusive, foul-mouthed, insulting. You know, it's amazing to me how young I hear people cursing today. In one generation, it's amazing. I go to the Little League field and I hear 8-year-olds cursing. We need to be careful. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is edifying for the hearer. Amen? And when it comes to the name of our Lord, we should never use it except when we're worshiping him or telling others about him. Amen? No other time, no other way. I'm not a big fan of oh my gosh or geez. What's that slang for? Amen? By the way, have you ever noticed no one ever says, oh Buddha? I've never heard anyone say that one time. Never. But they curse Jesus' name all the time, don't they? Sometimes they get the whole family, Jesus, Mary, Joseph, and right, you know, they like to do that. We are not to blaspheme his name, amen? We're to bring reverence to his name. They will be, not only that, in the end times, men will be, they will be disobedient to parents. We talked about this last week. We are to honor your mother and father. Rebellion of children and rebellion against God is a sign of the last days. And we see it so prevalent today. We need to honor our children, honor your parents. And parents, be the parent. Amen? Talked about this last week. Don't be afraid. They got enough friends. Be the mom, be the dad. Amen? I love my kids to death. They know I would die for them, and I love them enough to be their dad. And we need more moms and dads to stand up today. It also says they will be unthankful, ungrateful for what they've been given. We need to thank God more for what we already have instead of asking God for more. Amen? We are so blessed already, aren't we? But in the end days, they'll be unthankful, unholy. This is a lack of reverence for God. Unloving, without natural affection. The word there speaks of a love that holds a family together. And we see that in these last days, families are falling apart all around us. And you know why they are? Because men are lovers of themselves. Men and women are more concerned about themselves than they are their family. That's the only reason they will leave their family to go feed their flesh and leave children in the wake, destroyed and hurt. And that's what happens when we are lovers of ourselves. And that word there means an unnatural affection. So again, it's adultery, homosexuality. It's these things where we turn away from God's divine plan for marriage and we go our own way because we love ourselves more. But you know what? How's that working out for us as a country? Not too good, is it? And yet, rarely do I see somebody who runs off and has an affair that feels really good about it a year later. But the enemy is always drawing men and women away. Unforgiving. People that will hold a grudge forever and will never allow you to forgive them or will never forgive you. That's the world we live in today. Slanderers, making false accusations, without self-control, living lives that are out of control. Again, the world we live in today, people are out of control. Out of control with sex, drugs, alcohol, attitudes, everything. It's unbelievable. It's amazing how many rehab centers we need to have for everything under the sun because people are out of control. But here's the good news. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Where does that come from? It comes from the Lord. But in the end times, we're out of control. Brutal. The word there is savage, fierce, no respect for life. We see that in the world today. There's no respect for human life. Babies are being slaughtered by the millions. Now I want to say this. If you've had an abortion in the past, God is a loving, gracious, and forgiving God. Amen? And God will forgive you. But you know what? You shouldn't have one in the future. It's not a choice, it's a baby. Amen? And our God is a loving God, and He's the one who opens and closes the womb. Despisers of good. In the end times, men will call good evil and evil good. We see that again in the world today. It's amazing how if you stand up for simple truth, you're attacked as being a bigot. They're making laws to say it's going to be bigotry to teach things in the Bible. You know, there may come a time in the not too distant future where they make it against the law to stand up and proclaim things as being sinful, and they'll call it hate speech. Somebody send me a cake with a file in it. Because we cannot stop teaching the Word of God to please ungodly man. Amen? Amen? Teach it. And so, traitors. Again, betrayers, where the word of a man is meaningless. His word means nothing anymore. When we're in love with ourselves, we have no concern for others. Headstrong, that word means reckless. Won't tolerate anyone getting in the way of what we want to do. It's about me. Get out of my way. And you know what? Some people view that as being a positive. Man, he's so self-confident. So determined. Get out of my way, man. I'm on the train to success, man. Get off the track or get moving with me. I've been in sales meetings. I've heard that happen. You know what? It's sad. It's tragic. We need to have that passion for Jesus, not for the pursuit of the things of this world. Haughty, filled with self-importance. This is something that nauseates us all, but then yet we struggle with it ourselves. When you see it in others, don't you hate it? Then it just nauseates you when you see someone who's haughty. It just makes you say, like, dude, get over yourself, right? I mean, I don't always say it out loud, but I'll go, dude, oh, okay, great. Yeah, you're pretty special, aren't you? You know what I mean? And they're just haughty and filled with themselves. You think, look in the mirror. Realize that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. And then it says, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Physical pleasure is more important than loving and following the Lord. And then it says, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Content to have an outward religion without an inward relationship. Bringing these very things into the church. Failing to denounce sin. Denying the power of God to transform someone's life. Guys, we don't need a 12-step program. We need a one-step program. Jesus Christ, Him crucified and risen from the dead. Amen? He can absolutely transform our lives. He's a great and an awesome God. In the last days, churches will be comforting one another in their sin. No sin will be pointed out. No holiness, no cross, and because of that, no power. No Holy Spirit conviction. No boldness to proclaim the truth. But a life of walking in rebellion and disobedience from God. And then the last part of that verse, and we'll move on to the new text, says, and from such people, turn away. Not only are we not to participate in this behavior, but we're to have nothing to do with it. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good morals. I tell people all the time, and I say to myself all the time, you will become like the people you hang out with. Amen? You want your life to change? Start hanging out with people that love God as much as you do or more. That's, you know what, the reason I love this Ross Rhodes guy, man, I love people who just are in fuego for Jesus, don't you? It's like Moses coming down from the mountain. I'm like, dude, I'm going to hang out with you. And why do we? Because I know that hanging out with them will be iron sharpening iron. My faith will grow. But when you hang out with the world, don't you start becoming like the world? Start to compromise. The world's priorities become your priorities. It's not a big deal anymore. And you need to be careful about what entertains us too. Because what entertains us can also be that thing that corrupts us. Because what does entertainment do? It desensitizes us to sin, doesn't it? You see it 100 times, 1,000 times, 10,000 times, and all of a sudden it's not a big deal anymore. But it is a big deal to God. Amen? So let's pick up in verse 6. And now we've seen the flawed character of those who would call themselves Christians. From such turn away. Now let me make it very clear, because sometimes people misinterpret what I say. We are to minister to the world. Amen? God's called us to be salt and light here. We are not self-righteous. We are not better than anybody else. We truly are one beggar leading another beggar to the bread. And we should never take for granted the gift that we have in Christ and that we are called by divine appointment to reach out to a world that desperately needs Jesus. And you know what? There before the grace of God goes every single one of us. Amen? And we need to have that perspective. But at the same time, that doesn't mean in reaching out to the world we become like the world. We're to be in the world, but not of it. So let's pick up in verse 6. And now look at false teachers and imitators leading people away from the truth. So we saw the flawed character of those who call themselves Christians, turn away from them. And now we're going to look at the false teachers and imitators leading people away from the truth. Look at verse 6. For of this sort, of what sort? The 18 characteristics he just gave. The 18 characteristics of perilous times, the last days, what men and women would become like. Then he says, for of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women. Now these false teachers, those who we just talked about, their flawed character, would in Timothy's days worm their way into homes and gain control over those that they knew were vulnerable. Says there, and make captives of gullible women. The word gullible means weak-willed or silly. These false teachers of flawed character would look for easy targets who are susceptible to their slickly packaged deception. Now this is happening, I believe, today more than any other time. And how do they do it now? How do they get into the homes of those who are gullible, those gullible men and women? How do they do it today? TV and radio. We're going to talk about the characteristics, but these false teachers of flaw, they look for these easy targets, and they package things in a way that they can draw them in. And these false teachers then, they crept into households by finding those who were alone, those who were gullible, those who were vulnerable to deception, those who did not know the Word of God very well. And that's exactly what's happening today. It says, for this sort of those who creep into household, make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sin. See, they look for those who are carrying a load of guilt in regard to their past, searching for a way to alleviate their guilt. But instead of leading them to the one who will pay the price for them, who will restore them and give them eternal life, they lead them to a false doctrine. They draw them unto themselves instead of pointing them to the Savior. It says, led away by various lusts. This speaks of both their carnal past, as well as a tool false teachers use to draw the gullible and vulnerable into their lies. Instead of teaching the truth, that the sins they are loaded down with can only be removed through brokenness and repentance and the putting away of the flesh. False teachers love instead to appeal to the flesh. False teachers appeal to your flesh. Come to God and He'll give you $1 million. Come to God and you'll be successful. Come to God and He'll heal you of any sickness that you might have. Now again, understand, our God can and does heal people. But we don't come to Him for physical healing first and foremost, but for spiritual healing. Amen? Now again, He heals. And I believe we need to pray more that God would touch and transform and heal people. Because He can do that. But why does He do that? That His name might be lifted up. It's not that we might manipulate God and force Him into doing things. We come to Him humbly and broken and say, Lord, if You want to heal me, great. And if You don't, that's okay. Because, Lord, I live that You might be glorified. And, Lord, if You're going to be glorified more in my sickness than in You healing me, then that's fine. Because, guys, this life is but a vapor. And this physical body we carry around, if you don't know already, is broken and getting worse. Amen? Older I get, man, it's amazing. It's just amazing. Why do you get up and take a shower every morning? Because your body is dying. It stinketh, right? And it's so true. But here's the good news. We're going to have a heavenly body one day that will never fail. And so again, if God chooses to heal us, heal me if it's going to glorify You. And Lord, if I continue on in the difficulty and Thou will bring You greater glory, then let me continue on. Because Lord, it's not about me, it's about You. But sadly, what happens, these false teachers will look to the vulnerable, those who are many times locked in their homes and they have access to the TV and they come in every day and they play on the, you know, it's amazing how many elderly people with fixed income are sending half of their income to a charlatan. And why does this happen? Because they play on their physical needs instead of pointing them to the true and living God. And He's saying, this kind of behavior, these perilous men are going to come into the households and grab gullible women. This is not just gullible women, but gullible men, loaded down with sin, led away by various lusts, and they're going to use those very things they're led away by to draw them unto themselves. Again, I said it already, but the false teachers love the self-esteem gospel. Why? Because it plays on the lust of us being lovers of ourselves. They love the prosperity doctrine because it plays on our heart of being lovers of money. They love the false doctrines of the cults. You know, what do the cults say? Every one of the cults has this in common. They make God less and man more. Well, God, you know, actually, you can become a God one day. Mormon church. The New Age movement, right? And you know what? People are falling for that. Why? Because it feeds their own selfish desires. Oh, I can be God? Really? Wow, that sounds pretty good. You know what else? You can have your own planet. Really? And guys, you're going to have a whole bunch of wives just to serve you and help you populate your own planet. Well, I'm kind of liking that. You know what? Does that feed the flesh or what? But that's what false teachers do. If they came to you and gave you a false doctrine that required you dying to yourself, nobody would buy it. But guys, we die to ourselves because we know our God knows what's best for us. And He loves us. And we want to put our lives in His hands. When I do things my way, it doesn't work out so good. How about you? But when I trust Him, He is so faithful. And it says there that verse 7, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, why are they so vulnerable to deception and so gullible? Because they don't know the truth. While they know about God, they don't truly know God. One of the greatest enemies, one of the enemy's greatest plots is to redefine the truth of the gospel into something less than it really is. You know what? We have the great deception of false teachers today, and the doctrine I believe that originated with Satan is a plot to lead people away, is to teach in belief apart from repentance. To teach Christianity without the cross. To teach that we can come to God without going through Jesus Christ. This last week, I've had three people tell me they believed in God, they just didn't believe in Jesus. I said, it's a package deal. It's a three for one deal. You get three, you get, that's it. That's how it works. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Oh, I'm okay with the Holy Spirit, but not so much Jesus. Well, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. Amen? So you're not getting to heaven through Buddha. You're not getting to heaven through the New Age movement. You're not getting to heaven through good works. You can't be good enough. Jesus Christ alone is the only path. And you know what the enemy loves to do? Give you something that's kind of true. Talk about the attributes of God and His love and His grace, but forget about redemption. Forget about repentance. Forget about brokenness. Christianity without the cross, we see it all over our country today. Having a relationship, a belief, apart from repentance. You know what, guys? Believing that there is a God will not save you. Amen? The Bible says that demons believe and tremble. So believing that there is a God, that's great, but you better, more than believe that there is a God, you need to know Him. Not just know about Him. Amen? We must recognize our own depravity, our desperate need of redemption, that we are indeed sinners, deserving of hellfire for all eternity. I didn't come to church for that. But here's the truth. How many of us deserve hellfire? Raise your hand. If your hand's not up, you're lying, and you deserve it even more now. How about that? Here's the point. And again, that's not a real popular message, is it? I didn't come for no hellfire and brimstone, man. I thought we're getting some practical stuff, man. You know, taxes are coming up. I was going to get some help out my money or something. Here's the point. The reason that people struggle to know the true and living God is they have a misconception about themselves. We have this misconception that men are inherently good. That's what the world says. Men are inherently good. Men left unto themselves will do the right thing. Yeah, that seems to be working out. Men are inherently wicked, and they will not do the right thing apart from the empowering of the Holy Spirit to transform their lives. Amen? So the problem is that people say, well, what about the good man halfway around the world if he's really good, but he believes in some other God? Well, here's the point. There are no good men. So just wipe that out. Understand that there are no good men. There is none righteous, no, not one. And we'll stop struggling with the good man going to hell, and we'll start realizing that we're all wicked, and it's a blessing that any of us get to go to heaven. When we realize who we are, we'll see how desperate we are for the true and living Savior, and we'll stop trying to make excuses and confine God and transform the gospel to make it easy for us to palate. We need to understand we need Him. We need Him desperately. Amen? He created us to have a relationship with Him. There is no life apart from Him. There's no joy. There's nothing apart from Him. My life is of no value. Do you understand that? Pastor Dave, you're acting like Jesus is all that matters. Amen. He is. And I know that I'm fired up, but that's okay. Here's the point. Guys, I am so concerned for every single one of you that we live in a world today that is watering down the gospel, that is making Jesus less and man more. And my prayer is that not one of you would fall for the lie, because unlike these people who have no knowledge of the truth, my prayer is that every one of you would have complete knowledge of the truth. How do you have knowledge of the truth? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by Word of God, and teaching you the whole counsel of God. Again, nothing but a whole Bible will make a whole Christian. And we need to teach all of it and understand it so that when the lie comes, we know the truth and we can recognize it. But sadly, these people had a knowledge. You know, they were ever learning, but no knowledge of truth. And we see that again in the world today. And we sang it today, and I love that. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. All the knowledge in the world, all the worldly wisdom, all the man-made philosophies, even deep theological discussions mean nothing and are of no value apart from the simple truth of the gospel. Amen? There was a good spot for amen right there. You just missed it completely. But here's the point. You can have all the philosophies. You can have a bunch of degrees and letters after your name. And I'm not slamming education, but here's the point. How much better would our country be if we spent as much time in the Word of God as we did on arithmetic? People go, well, no, we need arithmetic. You need God more. Amen? You know, back in the day, they did English class by studying the Bible. They did history class by studying the Bible. It was so awesome. Not too long ago, one of my boys came on. I said, what are you doing? He goes, I'm doing history. I go, what are you studying? He said, Moses. I go, no, that's history. I like that. God bless your history teacher. And you know, we need to get back to that. Amen? It's we're gaining in knowledge, but we have no understanding of the truth. Ever learning some new point, the latest move, a revelation of God, latest man-made false doctrine of false teachers. We put a great deal of stock in learning and education. We spend hundreds or thousands of dollars and hours and years attaining degrees. And certainly, again, education is both good and necessary. You know, especially, you know, if I go to the doctor, I kind of want them to know what they're doing. Amen? I'm thinking a guy's going to cut me open and do something. I'm thinking, educate, good. I'm glad you went to school. That's a good thing. But here's the point. But far more important than how much we learn is what we learn and who we learn of. To know him is to love him. Isn't that true? So the more you know him, the more you're going to love him. People say, well, Pastor Dave, I'd love to have faith like you do. I say, it's real easy. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you hang out with God, you're going to love him more and your faith's going to increase. Amen? It's just that simple. The word knowledge there, it's interesting. Always learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. The word knowledge there in the original language means to know by experience. Not to just know about him in your head, but to know by experience. I know that I know that I know by experience that Jesus Christ is God. You know why I know? Because he's my best friend. And I have a relationship with him. He's not a faraway, distant God. He's a personal, intimate, loving Savior. Sadly, much of the world today is like these vulnerable and gullible women. They know of God, but no experience of walking with God and no repentance. You know, spiritual discussions on TV just drive me crazy. They have all these spiritual discussions on TV. Have you seen these? And they talk about spiritual stuff, and there's no answers because there only is one answer. His name's Jesus. Amen? They get done with these. There's a show in the morning called Good Morning, and they have love of this person and all these different faiths on there all sitting around a table talking. I'm like, what a waste of time. Jesus. I mean, I'm saying it to the TV. Jesus. I don't think they hear me, though. Again, when we have no knowledge of God, we don't know him intimately. We are vulnerable to the deceit of this world. And that's why we need to raise our kids to know the truth. Verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do those who also resist the truth. Now, here's what's interesting. Jannes and Jambres, though not identified back in Exodus, you know who these guys were? They were the magicians that showed up when Moses came to appear before Pharaoh. And if you remember that story from reading your Bible, or if you saw the Ten Commandments, okay? Remember that Moses shows up and he throws his staff down. What does it do? Turns to a snake. And what do? Jannes and Jambres come in and they throw their staff down. What does it do? Turns to a snake. Now, Moses' snake eats theirs. I would think they would figure out, hey, we're not going to win. But then he turns water into blood. They turn water into blood. He brings a plague of frogs. They bring more frogs. I'm thinking, why would you do that since that's already harmony? But I don't get it. But here's the point. So there are those who are imitators of the true and living God. There are those who are imitators. And Satan is an imitator. The Bible says he comes as an angel of light. But in the end, he can imitate only for so long. Amen? Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. He has the power to imitate, but again, eventually, just like Jannes and Jambres, they'll be put to shame. Matching a miracle for miracle only as long as God allows it. The occult powers of the devil were shown to be inferior to the power of God. It says that in Revelation and 2 Thessalonians, that the ability to do miracles by the power of darkness will be a sign of the last days. Guys, just because you see a miracle doesn't mean God did it. Remember that if God did it, God will be glorified by it. Amen? So when you see something miraculous happening, know that the enemy will come and appear as an angel of light, and people are drawn away. Why are they drawn away? Because they don't know the truth of God's word, and they just get caught up in the miraculous. Now, I personally believe, pastor's opinion, let me stand over here, don't get in trouble, pastor's opinion, okay? I truly believe most of what we see on TV is just straight up fake. But some of it that may be legitimate may not have anything to do with Almighty God. It could be the very enemy, propping up the false doctrine of a false teacher to draw people away from the true and living God. Guys, this is why we must not be biblically illiterate. We must know the Word of God so we can recognize the lie when we hear it. The false teachers are all around us and trying to draw us away from the truth. Again, I think I've told you this story. One time most of you guys know I sold advertising for 18 years. And when I was selling advertising, I sold Yellow Page advertising. Whenever I'd get signed to certain accounts, I would just throw them in the garbage. You know, abortion clinic, you're not going to be in the phone book. You know, strip club, not in the phone book. Back when I had the ability to, I'd take them out of 411. There you go. You're not in the white pages, and you're just gone. You don't exist. But they used to assign psychics to me, and usually I would just, And then if they'd call later and say, well, how come nobody contacted me? I said, well, you're a psychic. You should have known when the book closed, and you should have known my phone number. But one year, I'll never forget that I had a couple of psychics assigned to me, and God put it on my heart. You know what? Who is going to tell them about me? Go see them and tell them about me. I thought, okay, this will be really interesting. Now, the good news is one of the psychics, I was able to lead to the Lord, her and her daughter. And they started attending Calvary Chapel San Jose. So praise God. But the other psychic, I walked in the door. I was praying in my car. I walked in the door. I'm 2 feet in the door. She says to me, young man, you have two jobs, this job and another job. And the other job is really the passion of your life, and you really don't want to be here right now, and you don't even want to sell me an ad. You have something here you want to convince me of. That was all accurate. Now, where did that come from? Absolutely. I told her, I said, well, one or two things is true about psychics. They're either liars and phonies, or they get their information from the devil, and now I know where you get yours. Who's your manager? That happens. That's all right. But here's the point. She said something that was true, but I know that didn't come from God. Amen? And so we need to recognize that the enemy can imitate God, can imitate the miraculous, and the way we recognize it's not from God is we know the Word of God. But sadly, in the last days, people are going to be drawn away by these false teachers. Why? Because they don't know God's Word. We must not be seduced by the power that seems right, because demonic powers can come masquerading as angels of light. So it says there in the rest of that verse, so do these also resist the truth. False teachers then and today most often resist the truth by imitating it. False teachers, again, imitate truth just enough to make it palatable. Nobody knocks on your door and says, I'm here, I'm a wolf in sheep's clothing, and I'm trying to drag you to hell. They don't do that, do they? No false teacher comes on television and just says, I'm just trying to get your money, all right? So call the 1-800 number and go ahead and give it to me now. They don't do that. What they do instead is they give you a semblance of truth. But mixed with the truth is ultimately a lie. And as I said before, a half a truth is a whole lie. And if you resist the truth by mixing it with a lie, what have you done with the truth? Jesus again said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. And we see here they resist the truth, and they do that by resisting Jesus. Instead of coming to the knowledge of the truth, like Jannes and Jambres, all who resist the truth will eventually be put to shame. Those who in these last days resist the truth will soon bow to the truth, Jesus, amen? Words of men and the latest winds of doctrine will come and go, but the truth of Jesus Christ and Him crucified will endure forever. The Word of God will endure forever, but the false teaching of this world will come and go. And it says there, they will resist the truth, men of corrupt minds. It's interesting, when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? What did He say? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Not heart or soul or mind or strength. We don't come to God one piece at a time. Amen? He's either Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. And so if we walk with God, you can't give him your heart and not your mind. And so a man is either fully redeemed or completely corrupt. Which are you? Are you fully redeemed or completely corrupt? If we have a corrupt mind, we are corrupt. And what cleanses us? So when someone resists the truth, the simple truth of the gospel, it is a reflection of a hardened heart, a lost soul, and a corrupt mind. Now, with that being said, in 1 Timothy 6, it says this, if anyone teaches otherwise, and does not consent to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words from which come envy, strife, and reviling, evil suspicion, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. So what he's saying, if they have a corrupt mind, they know nothing, it says in that text. Now this is where people struggle. So the world knows what? Nothing. That's why we walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Here's a constant argument, a constant debate that people want to have. Well, but there's good things in the world. No, there's not. Read the Bible. No, there's not. Well, yeah, but this is a... No, it's not. It's not good. It's corrupt. Amen? Guys, we got 66 book instruction manual right here in your hand. Why run to someone who's dead and doesn't know God and seek their counsel when you got the true and living God who's given you a roadmap for life and put it in your lap? Amen? Read the book. Don't wait for the movie, right? Read the book. Open up the Bible. Let God's word be the instruction to us. So anyone who does not consent to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ is proud, knows nothing, has a corrupt mind, is destitute of truth, and we are to withdraw from them, not seek counsel of them. Now, and every time I say this, people get mad. That's all right. I love you. You know that, right? You know I love you guys. When we get in trouble is when we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. And we like to think we know something. We like to think we know something, don't we? But pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. That's what the Bible says. People get offended because we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. We won't get offended if our focus is on Jesus and not on us. Quit looking in the mirror and start looking up. Amen? And the reason these guys are they have corrupt minds, it says disapproved concerning the faith. Disapproved, the word there, in some of your Bibles, if you have the Old King James, says reprobate concerning the faith. The word in Greek means unapproved, rejected, worthless, cast away, incapable of testing the truth. Romans 1 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do things that are not fitting. Here's what he's saying. If someone doesn't know God, their mind is corrupt. They've turned themselves over to a reprobate mind. When it comes to the faith, they're reprobate. Now again, these are not real popular words. Now again, when you go next door to witness to your lost friend, at some point they need to hear of their sinfulness and their need for a Savior. But I'm thinking reprobate is probably not the first word you want to open up with. By the way, did you know you're reprobate? We all are. But here's the point. We point them to the truth of God's love for them. But they must realize again that they are sinners in need of a Savior. Because false teaching, a half-truth, equals a whole lie. Do not make the mistake of thinking that the cultist at your door has some good things to say. Amen? When the cultist knocks on your door, he has nothing good to say. You have a lot of good to say. He has nothing good to say. Amen? Don't get caught up in that. It's not the cultist, but the Christian who has the truth, and let's share it in love. Last verse. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. Such teaching and teachers will never be able to ultimately prevail against the truth, for the foundation of God will stand. Aren't you glad? While the enemy is stirring things up in the last days, he's on the prowl, God is greater still. The truth will stand. The truth will endure. And so many are trying to draw people away from the truth. May we be pointing them to it. Guys, as so many people are pointing people to something else, we as Christians need to stand up with boldness and point them to the truth. Amen? I mean, love them enough. I don't know if anybody else here has experienced this, but I have several times in my life where I was witnessing to somebody or I had somebody that I worked with that died suddenly. And just my heart gripped, reminding myself of all the opportunities I had to point them to the truth. And I, Lord. And you know what that does? It gives me a greater urgency for everyone else who's still here. God, give us an urgency, Lord. Guys, we're going to stand before Almighty God one day, and we're going to be His presence forevermore. But this life is going to be over like that. It's but a vapor. And we can't waste one more day not being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking boldly for Him. God brings those divine appointments. May we not be so caught up in the things of this world that we miss out on those things which are eternal. It says there, "For their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was." The word folly there, and this is in the Greek. I didn't make this up. It's stupidity. It's the Bible. It says their stupidity will be manifest to all. The thing that they're so proud of and so arrogant about, and I got a new doctrine, I got this new thing, and they're drawing people away. It says their stupidity will be manifest to all, just as theirs was also, speaking of Jannes and Jambres, just as it came to light that they could not match God. And that God was greater than them, and their magic wasn't good enough. The true and living God was greater. So too, the false prophets and the false teachers, their stupidity, their folly will be made manifest to all. In the end, everybody will realize it. But you know what? There's people who are in the snatches of it right now. And we, again, need to be pointing people to the true and living God. How about those back-to-back week messages? How are you feeling right about now? Guys, you know what? Praise God. Glad somebody is. But you know what? I share this with you. Why do I share it with you? First of all, because I love you guys. And God's called me to proclaim the truth with boldness, because the lie is being proclaimed to you all day long. Every time you turn on the TV, there's a false gospel on there telling you that happiness comes from alcohol or money or career or relationship, when the truth is, comes from Jesus. Amen? All these things are being poured in 24 hours a day. Some guy was telling, I think it was Ross Rhodes who mentioned it. He said, from one week to the next, by the time I see you again, the average person in this room will have seen 420 commercials. And so you're getting 420 messages from the world, plus the radio and everything else you're listening to. And all the more reason that on Sunday, we need to speak with great boldness to cut through all the garbage and bring the truth to light. Amen? And so, amen. So God is good. He loves you guys. Know that they are perilous times, but next week we're going to see how we respond. I'm not going to just leave you hanging. Okay, wow, man, that's a bummer. False teachers everywhere. The character of the world is falling apart. It's in the church now. Okay, God bless you. See you next week. Now, here's the point. Next week we're going to see, and by the way, you can read ahead because it's in your Bible, but next week we're going to see the precious truth of how you and I are to respond. God has a plan for us in the midst of all of this. God has us here for such a time as this. Amen? God has you in Santa Cruz, Santa Cruz, Holy Cross, for such a time as this. And He wants to use you here. He's not looking for a method. He's not looking for a message. He's looking for a man or a woman who says, "Here I am, use me." And He will. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, we praise You, we worship Your name. And we thank You, Lord, in the midst of perilous times, that we still have the precious truth. You're still God. You're still in control. You're still faithful. Lord, I pray for anyone in this room this morning that doesn't know You, that You'd open their eyes. Lord, I pray if anybody's getting caught up chasing after the false truths of this world, open their eyes to the truth of who You are. Lord, I pray we would never be self-righteous. Lord, that we would never act like we figured it out and everybody else is wrong, even though they are. But Lord, I pray that You would help us to reach out to them in love. That we would be a reflection of You. That people would see Jesus in us in the way that we love them. And Lord, that we would love them enough to speak the truth even when it's not easy. Lord, give us boldness. Give us conviction. Give us wisdom. Give us a burden for the lost. Give us an urgency in our hearts. Paint eternity on our eyes, Lord. We ask these things in your holy and your precious name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. All right, we're going to go to a time of communion now. Here at Calvary Chapel, we don't have membership. So if you're a Christian, you're a part of this fellowship. And so right now, as we go this time of communion, really quickly, here's what I want you to do. As the worship team begins to play, come and get the...